So welcome to the Ecom Growth Show, where we cut through the chaos of ecom growth and show you how to build a business that scales and supports the life that you actually want. I'm your host, Brittany, former boutique owner turned growth strategist for ecom owners like yourself. And today I'm joined by co-founders of Shopanova and Bloom, Robbie Switzer and Danny Stafford. We created this podcast to pull back the curtain on what's really working to grow Shopify brands to consistent 100K plus months without burnout or guesswork. Whether you're getting traction or scaling fast, this show is designed to help you simplify, focus, and grow with purpose. Awesome. Okay, guys. So diving right in, for those of you who don't know you, I know it's been a few years since you guys did the podcast. What lights you up about what you do working with e-com brands at Shopanova and Bloom?
Oof, jumping right into it after being ghosted for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this one. So I think what lights me up, a lot of things do, but one thing specifically as of the last year is actually helping people on an individual basis change their lives and not just help them grow their bottom line or top line revenue, but actually helping them create a life that they want to build and is sustainable that revolves around more than just money. So that's where a lot of my focus has been over the last year, and it's been a fun journey.
Yeah, and I would say one thing that's been really lighting me up recently is for a long time, you know, we've been kind of this growth agency, and it's like you can come in, our team will do all the work for you, and we're going to run your ads, we're going to do your designs, we're going to write and send your emails, and we're going to take you to the moon, and that's been really exciting. And we've done that for a lot of people, but it's like there is a certain barrier of entry where it's like, we'll do that if, you know, you can afford us, like if you're ready for us. And we've had all these wonderful tools and a wealth of knowledge that we've been wanting to give to people, but we just haven't had a vehicle for doing that. And so more recently, just in the last year, we've launched Bloom, which is, you know, kind of a consulting program where we walk with people, like Daniel said, not just on the marketing, the ads, the email, the site, but also how to be a business owner, how to have the right mindset around the ups and downs that come with business. But also it's like, we can help you right out of the gate, as opposed to like, oh, you got to be at 50K a month already before we can actually help you. So that's been really fun for me to see brands, smaller brands, getting early traction that is actually going to continue to propel them into a big brand territory. That's been super, super fun.
Yeah, 100%. So what's so fun is it's been a year since we've been working together, since we started Bloom, which is so exciting. And I remember a couple conversations when we first met. So you guys were like, hey, we have a successful agency. We get to help brands scale. But there was a deeper level of it. There was the heart behind it. So I'd love to know from a more personal standpoint, why you guys even started your business, like bring us into your story a little bit and the why behind what you do, and then how you get to now help that one-on-one business owner in part because of your story. So like, what's the heart behind Bloom? Because I just loved hearing it when I first started with you guys.
You know, Brittany, before we answer that, I have a question for you. What did you get in the mail just a couple days? I have to publicly get acknowledged for this one. What'd you get from us in the mail? Because you were celebrating the year mark. Oh, look at those beautiful flowers.
That's gorgeous. I love it. And you guys beautiful. Don't know this. It was from a local flower shop. And I actually know the owner. So it's a local female-owned business. So obviously, big shout out to y'all, and they're gorgeous and at my desk right now. So
that's awesome. What was your question again?
Okay. The heart of it. So I'd love to know, like, for those who don't know your story, like back in the day before Shopanova, before this big agency, almost like what, a decade ago now, what were your lives like and why did you even start Shopanova? And then I feel like Bloom is almost like an evolution of your personal growth. If I could like step out and look at your story a little bit. But I'd love listeners to know, you know, like, why did you even start Shopanova? Where did you guys start from?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, let's just do this the right way. Okay. So we grew up here in Homer, Alaska. It's a small town you know, 5,000 people. In the summer, the population grows because it's pretty big on tourism. But most everybody here earns their wages through commercial fishing, construction, lots of manual labor. There is some stuff with tourism. But for us, we kind of grew up under this idea that the only way to make money was to trade hours for dollars and to just do that a lot. And so we grew up around commercial fishing. And so when we were younger, let's say like kind of our early working days, like right out of high school, well, Dan had actually started earlier. That was just what we did. We jumped right into commercial fishing and it was super fun because it's like you go out to sea for a few months at a time. You work really, really hard, catch a bunch of fish, and then you have a pretty good pile of money that you can use to go play around. You can travel the world, lots of freedom. It's kind of like this work hard, play hard lifestyle. And that was awesome for a couple guys that like to work hard and play hard. But eventually that path just gets more and more serious the longer you're in it. So I got married. I actually married Daniel's little sister, which is a whole story in and of itself. But on our honeymoon, like we said, let's get married. Let's just kind of like figure some things out. It'll be fun. And on our honeymoon, Brittany's dad called. He's like, hey, there's a great deal on this commercial fishing operation. Like, I think it'd be really great for you guys. And I had like some experience, but I certainly wasn't ready to be the captain of my own boat. Well, we said yes. And so instead of like kind of just learning to be married and doing some fun things in that first year, we immediately got home and just got to work on our boat. And we were going to fish that summer and just like figuring it all out, you know, not as just a deckhand, but actually as a captain and the owner of the vessel. And so we did that and we fished the first year together, just Brittany and myself. It was like a 30-foot boat. We had a ton of fun. We worked very hard. We made a lot of money. We did really good, like surprised ourselves, like we did better than we thought we would have. But then we started our family and Brittany got pregnant and it was super fun. So the following year, it was no longer, let's go out and do this awesome adventure together. It was more like, all right, bye Brittany, bye baby Eleanor. She was like just a couple months old at the time. And it just, the whole dynamic changed, right? Like it was no longer, you're not like heading out to sea with the boys to go have a good time. Like you're saying goodbye to your family. And it just got harder. And oftentimes to make it, like once you do become the owner of your own operation, you have to like pick up more work and more fisheries and, you know, not just do salmon in the summer, but now you're doing like herring in the spring on somebody else's boat and crab fishing in the winter. You just get really busy trying to afford that big operation. And so right away that kind of started to feel more, it just, the dynamic changed. It wasn't as fun for me. Daniel had a similar experience, but his started way earlier. So Dan, why don't you kind of pick up your side of the story and in the whole fishing side of things?
Dude, I will say yours hit so much harder when you're wearing that shirt. I don't know why. I'm just so captivated by it. Yeah. So I grew up in it. My dad grew up commercial fishing and then I did with him. I started going out in the boat when I was like 3 years old. And I was a full crewman by the time I was 10, maybe 12, somewhere right in there.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that's like illegal, I think.
It might be, yeah. Let's, I don't know. Let's edit that part out, Caleb. I'm just kidding.
It's possible. It's not legal, but it is
possible. It's possible.
It doesn't have to be legal. It's possible. I liked it though, because I could make good money. Like at that age, it was crazy. I could go out for a summer and at 12 years old, make like $20,000 and buy a motorcycle or four wheeler, whatever I wanted to when I got back. And so that was just like normal to me. Plus being gone with my dad, like adventuring, all that, super cool and unique. And I just like took it for granted, obviously. Right. Cause it was like the way I grew up. But then same thing, it's funny, like life went
Tell
on
what you did at 18 though. Tell them what you did at 18.
At 18, my dad helped me like build my first house, but I like paid for it and stuff and then moved out right into that. And then had like a few friends that rented rooms from me. So on my first home at 18, which is cool, it allowed me to do that. And then same thing, like I would fish on like the summer, some spring, and then travel fall and winter and go on adventures with friends and go, you know, New Zealand, Australia, Asia's, you know, all over the place, really. And it's funny because I did the same thing as Rob. I met my sweet wife, Samantha, got married, and we're going to take a year to just be married, have a honeymoon year. And then like 3 months in, I was like, dude, we have a child coming. I'm like, I'm going to be a father soon. I'm a husband. I got to provide. So yeah. I have to get my own operation now. I'm like thrust into manhood. It felt like, so I just didn't take that year off. Like, you know, I was expecting to, and just bought a boat. And then that summer went out fishing. And my son Aiden was supposed to be born right in the middle of the summer too, like right when the fishing was at its peak. So it was bad timing on our part. But anyways, went out, was doing really, really good first year. And long story short, ended up rolling the boat on the way actually to town where I was going to be picking up my wife. She's going to come out fish for a little bit. Thankfully, everyone survived, but it was super intense experience, traumatizing. Not, there was one guy that almost didn't survive, so the reality of that set in, obviously. But then after that, I was like, man, there's got to be safer ways to make money where I can be home with my family now, because I had the same thing where I'm like, I don't want to just leave months at a time. It's painful for my wife. It was harder for me. So the lifestyle of it just no longer fit where I wanted to go. So that was kind of my aha, like, how can I provide and make money and still do entrepreneurship, but do something completely different outside of what I grew up doing?
Yeah, for sure. What's that phrase as far as changing? So like the pain of remaining the same, or the pain of change needs to outweigh the pain of remaining the same. So yeah. For you guys, I'm just kind of curious. It kind of sounds like the, not pain as in like a negative, but the being taken away, like having to work and being taken away from your families, was that kind of part of that motivation and that evolvement of change?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And kind of saw where it was going. So like when I finally chose that I had to do something different, you know, I was out there, it was the end of the season. I had already been out there going on like 4 months. My daughter was 7 months old at the time. So I had this thought, I'm like, I've been out here for, she's only 7 months. That's over half her life. And I was like, kind of being dramatic. I was just over it. It was like the middle of the night. It was dark. It was stormy. It was rainy, and kind of looked off in the distance. There was an old man out there fishing. He was all alone, didn't have a deckhand with him. He was drinking. He was operating his vessel. And it's like, dude, that's just going to be me if I don't change anything. And so it was a little bit like I was kind of caught up in the moment and a little bit emotional anyways, just being over it, being out there all summer long. But I decided I probably wanted to figure out something else. And then Daniel had also rolled his boat. And so what was interesting, though, is like fishing for a long time for us represented freedom. But that year it changed, and it was like, I have to leave and go do something I don't want to be doing and leave my family at home.
Yeah.
And so now it represents like
bondage.
And so it's like, we realized like we just had to do something different. And I think there's a lot we have to be grateful for as far as like some of the things that fishing had fostered inside of us, as far as, you know, friends and entrepreneurs and as men or whatever. There's a lot of really great things that came out of it. One of which is like just the ability to take risks. And so when stuff wasn't working out for us, we're like, let's just try something different. And so when we were out doing all the crazy adventures, we would always have a camera with us just because we loved doing like funny videos. I don't even know that we would like do anything with them. This was before YouTube was like really popping off or anything, probably for a good reason on our part. But people would inevitably see our videos here and there. And then businesses kind of started asking us like, hey, could you make a video to promote my business? Or can we use some of that footage, you know, for our net company or whatever it might be? And so we're like, hey, let's start a video production company. That sounds fun and adventurous, and we could make money doing that, and we wouldn't have to leave our families. So that was kind of the transition away from manual labor, commercial fishing, construction into something a little bit less tangible, like marketing, video production. Like, yeah. What is it? I can kind of continue on where stuff evolved from there. Just direct me. What do you want
to
hear?
Get him, yeah, dude. He just wants to talk the whole time.
I love it. I love it.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. As soon as there is an ounce of dead air, he starts asking where to go with it.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that we go through things for a reason, right? To some extent. So if you could, for our like listeners, if you could give like one nugget of like truth or advice, like if you could go back and talk to Robbie in the midst of like fishing and in that moment when he was like, hey, my child is like half the age that I've been gone already, what's like the little nugget of wisdom that you would give Robbie then? That maybe that's kind of where our listeners are. I think a lot of times maybe we're not fishing, but we've created these companies that we have actually created our own prisons. And the thing that we left our 9-to-5 for, like, hey, we're going to have all this freedom. I'm going to have more vacation time. And then we end up on our phones all the time and we're missing those moments with our kids. So if you could go back and tell Robbie back in the day, one nugget, keep it short, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. I mean, honestly, what I would need to hear the most, and this is so cheesy because it's honestly what I need to hear even still today, is I just need to encourage myself sometimes and tell myself like, it is all going to work out. There's always ups and downs. You do have the ability to change things. It comes with a little risk, comes with a little pain here and there, but like ultimately you're doing a wonderful job and it is going to work out. And just kind of like connecting to this feeling that we are powerful inside of our circumstances. Like we don't just have to stand by and let life happen to us.
Yeah. We don't have to be just an observer. We can be proactive in our lives too. Daniel, what about yourself?
You know, I'll tell you what, maybe some people haven't even left their 9-to-5, but they're thinking about it or switching careers. I'll tell you what, that is scary as shit, because the only thing I knew was fishing. Right. So I'm like, dude, I didn't go to college. I didn't do all these things to like prepare for anything outside of this. Now I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So I had to overcome severe amounts of limiting beliefs of like, you know, this is what you always done. This is all you can do, to like, no, I can create the life I want, which was a scary transition. And I want to encourage people, if you're at that crossroads, to just jump in and do it. And if I would have told myself something in that time period, it's like, you were capable of doing what you want to do and set your mind to. Mm. And don't let fear be your guide through this process. You know, you can't, if you're just living fear, you probably won't do it. But, you know, I'm always going back to fear and not giving into it, but like just letting myself know then like, hey, do the thing that you want to do and it's going to work out.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, dude? That's your best advice?
No, so good. I love it. You guys are cracking me up. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I can relate to that too. So like back in the day, I was working for a nonprofit at $14 an hour. And when I was considering leaving that job, at the time, what I would make in an hour-long live sale was my paycheck for 2 weeks.
From that
nonprofit job. And I was terrified of leaving. And I was so scared, like, will this be successful? Can I trust myself enough?
Yeah, that this is exactly. Why do I feel like when you're saying nonprofit, it's code word for church?
Yeah. I mean, it was a large church. I say nonprofit now, but
hey, no offense to churches, but that sounds like a church wage to me.
Oh, it is God. A church wage. Yeah. So nonprofit pay.
Speaking of good sayings, here's another one. Most prefer the certainty of misery to the misery of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it'd be better just to know what to expect and live a miserable life than to step out, take risks, and potentially find higher highs and maybe sometimes lower lows, but like to ride that up and down, you know, of pioneering a new life.
Okay. So bringing it back modern day, mm-hmm. let's say like a year ago, we were in conversation of like, hey, starting Bloom. What was like the primary why for you guys to start Bloom? So like you're working with agency clients, they're having an incredible amount of success. You're helping brands scale, but then at some point there's only so much you can really help with. So how does Bloom kind of complement that? Or like, where does that come in?
I think we've gone through such hell over the last 10 years and learned so many lessons through it that we wanted to actually share that with other people and help other people. Agency was just like, pay us money, we'll do work for you. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But we were like, how can we actually have more impact in people's lives while simultaneously sharing the lessons, you know, that we've learned over the last 10 years? Because I feel like going through an experience is the slowest way to learn. But if you can talk to someone that's already been through it, it expedites your journey by like tenfold. So I'm like, I've had people like that in my life. And I'm like, how can I be that person, you know, to other people that are in the similar circumstance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Just adding on to that, something else that's really incredible about Bloom is it's not just us sharing our insight and our wisdom. It's a collective group of people with decades and decades of experience with like various, everybody has their own secret sauce, their own little gift in our group. So it's really cool, the collaborative environment, in addition to like the lessons that we have to talk about. Robbie, how about yourself?
Dear, Dan had such a good mic drop moment. I think it was frustrating for me that we were so, first of all, and I kind of mentioned this earlier on, there is a certain barrier of entry to the agency where it's like 80% of the people that reached out for help, it was like, sorry, we can't help you because your business is not at the level to where it would make sense. So to be able to just partner with people earlier on in the journey was super fun. But then on the flip side, it's like, man, we've helped some people scale way higher than they thought was even possible. And it made their life way worse. And that's because they weren't like taking care of themselves. They weren't watching like all these other moving pieces inside of their business aside from sales and marketing. Like you still have to take care of your customers. You have to scale up logistics and fulfillment and all these things that we as an agency, like, we can kind of like offer some recommendations, but we didn't really touch to a certain extent. So it's been really fun to be like, let's look at the business owner as a whole. Let's look at the business as a vehicle towards freedom and a better life. And let's just give people really good solutions from day one. That's kind of what Bloom has been all about.
But what would you say? Like, there's so many consultancies, there's so many agencies, like, I feel like there's just a lot of ads. Like if you just are starting to search, there's like a ton of ads you'll be bombarded with. And I don't even know, like a lot of gurus, if you look on Instagram or YouTube, right? And everyone thinks they have this magic solution. What do you think makes Bloom and like Shopanova so different?
I heard a quote just the other day that I thought was really good. And it's like, people don't buy coaching, they buy coaches. So I think one thing is definitely the personalities we bring to the table. Like we're all about personal connection. So whether people are working with you one-on-one or, you know, getting to interact with me and Dan, like that's a big part of what we bring to the table. Because the marketing, like the nuts and bolts, like you can figure that stuff out. And there's pretty clear processes for doing that. Our big thing aside from just bringing our own culture and community is just making sure that people have a simple way to approach that because it can be overwhelming. So our whole brand promise is growth made simple. We're going to take pretty advanced concepts and just give you actionable steps for getting the growth you want and growth that actually makes your life better. So I'd say it's probably those two things, just like it's our... It's our community and our coaching and our personalities and the fun we get to have together. But it's also like this simple approach towards growing your business.
You know what's sick, Brittany? When people ask me that on a sales call, I say, oh no, probably nothing. Maybe we're just like every other agency that's burnt you in the past.
I'm envisioning like an evil chuckle like after it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that was a solid answer, Rob. One thing I would add to that too is the one-on-one connection we have. A lot of these group programs just kind of throw people in the mix, go watch all these trainings and maybe show up to a group call or two and ask questions and maybe not even get that in because there's so many people in the group. Where having, I think, one-on-one guides like Brittany or Dixie walking you through everything and meeting a couple times a month one-on-one, like included with everything, seems to produce tremendous results, accountability, and just a feeling of people feeling taken care of through the whole process. And then all the other things are bonus, like the video vaults and the community and stuff like that. But I think that's a pretty big one for me.
Yeah. What do you think, Miss Brittany?
Oh my goodness. I wish that when I was in the midst of scaling my boutique, Bloom existed. Because it is just, one is the community aspect, just other people in a similar season of business who you're looking to like connect with and scale with. Everybody in our community, like they're just so warm and they take their business really seriously. But they also have the ability to like laugh at themselves too. Like it's just such a good group of people. So like the community, I think is so important. What's that quote about something like the top 10 people that you spend the most time with? You'll be within 10% of their income. So just surrounding yourself with higher income earners, people that are investing in themselves, I think is crucial.
So important.
Yeah, so that's one. The other part is it's not just about scaling your business through ads. It's a holistic approach to growth. So like when you're going through things, one of the things that our clients like on the front end, there's a lot of advertising about like, oh, ads, you know, we'll scale through ads. But when they actually like onboard and they're in the program, they're like, oh my gosh, this is like so much better than I ever thought possible because it's like organic marketing. It's emails. It's your Shopify store. It's your mindset. It's leadership. It's, you know, work-life balance. It's just so many other things that go into growing your business. So that's number two. And number three, I think just like the heart of the team is part none. Like you can YouTube to a certain extent, different strategies. You can, you know, find some guru. But as far as like the heart and the integrity of our team, I think is just like, I think yeah. like our secret sauce, to be honest. It's just so
incredible. For most of them, at least.
Yeah. I don't know about Josh or you even, Robbie, but me and Brittany bring a good
for
vibe.
The heart of the business for sure. Yeah.
No, it is. It's true. Like, I think one thing we do have going for us, just if I am going to toot our own horn, is we've built a culture that's based on pretty clearly defined values. And so that is a non-negotiable for us. Like, we're here to make lives better. And everything we do is kind of catered in that direction.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, final question. So if someone is listening, let's say they're doing anywhere between $10,000 a month to $20,000 a month. I'd love to know what's your biggest piece of advice to scaling to that six-figure month.
Let me even say someone that's doing $2,500 a month because it's probably relevant for them as well.
100%.
Single piece.
Just one little nugget.
One little nugget. All right. Nugget.
I would say, get really good at creating content and learn how to run some basic meta ads. That will get you going pretty quick.
Yeah. And I'd say if you're just getting going, is just refining your product so that the people getting it tell their friends about it and it builds momentum. That way, you know, you have a product people love and will spread before you're even spending too much on ads. Because if that's not dialed in, you're probably not going to go super far. So product and customer service, I'm going to go that route since Robbie went the ads route.
Awesome. Man, I love how I'm asking the question. I'm like, there's so many things that go into growth, right? I would say this is more focusing on your habits. So thinking through what what do $100,000 a month owners actually do? Because consistency over time will always produce more results than the quick dopamine hits that you're looking for. So like scaling my boutique, I know going live consistently is what got me there. Posting to TikTok consistently after 3 months, that's what actually led to 90,000 followers, not because I was like, oh, I'm going to try this once and see if it works or not. But focusing on your habits and making sure they align with where you want to go, I think is key.
They got hit from three directions in that one.
Right? It's right? A good one. I love it. And then I would love to know from you guys, Robbie, can you just share a little bit about the masterclass, a little bit about who is it for and what they can kind of expect?
Yeah. So anybody kind of early stage in their e-commerce store, and honestly, doesn't have to be early stage because this is kind of the same framework that we use to scale people up to $1 million a month. But long story short, we've put together a masterclass. And inside that masterclass, we teach on three pillars or three levers that you can pull inside of your business that actually compound together. And even just small increases on those three things compound together and create massive growth. And it's much more simpler than people than the ways people try to approach growth. It gives you a clear set of like, hey, all I need to do is focus on these three things, and now I can start growing my sales. So that's been really fun to be able to kind of even like cut through the chaos. Like you said at the beginning of the podcast, there's a lot of noise out there, a lot of people telling you how to do things, a lot of shiny objects and flashy new tools with AI. But really there is just three things you need to focus on to grow your sales. And we kind of unpack that. We unpack it all in less than 30 minutes, and it's pretty dang powerful.
For sure. And that can be, that link can be found down below in the podcast notes for you guys who are curious and interested in our process to scale to consistent $100,000 months. Awesome. Okay. So thanks for tuning in to the Ecom Growth Show, where clarity replaces chaos and strategy fuels freedom. If today's episode sparked any idea or gave you a clear next step, we'd love for you to subscribe, share it with a fellow brand owner, and leave a review so more entrepreneurs can grow with intention, not overwhelm. For more resources and real talk on scaling your Shopify brand the smart way, follow us on Instagram @ShopNova. Until next time, keep growing with purpose.